If you think that song is true, would you say amen?
Amen.
Well, happy Mother's Day. We just got back from Israel yesterday. The last couple of days in Israel, some of you wouldn't know the terrain, but you can just figure out the places. The last couple of days, we went from the Dead Sea, where we floated in the Dead Sea. They mostly ladies, but some of the guys too. Got all the stuff down at the Dead Sea where you have your back rubs and all that stuff that happens down there with all the minerals and stuff. And then we go up the Jordan Valley and we stop. We go to Megiddo. We go to En Gedi. We go to the Sea of Galilee. We have a service on the Sea of Galilee. We go to the place where the multiplication of the fish happened. We go to the place where Peter was reinstated after he denied the Lord. We go to the place where he said, Matthew, I'm going to build my church in Caesarea Philippi. We go to Cana, we go to Nazareth, where Jesus was from. We go to Mount Carmel, where the prophet was on Mount Carmel. We go to Caesarea by the sea, where Paul was in jail for 2 years before he went to Rome. We go down to Joppa, where the prophet was told to go right. He went left. That's just one day. Then we hit the plane and came back that night. It's a great trip. It's a great trip. You should be thinking about going next week. So Megan Turner was on the next week. Did I say next week? Oh, okay. That's what happens when you say, do what I just did. Okay. Next year. Megan Turner was on docket to speak, and so I got a call when I was in Israel. And apparently through the school, there's a number of things going around. And she says, her daughter got it first, and then she says, I haven't. And I said, well, it's Mother's Day. Suck it up. That's what moms do. Show them how tough you are, all right? Get on out there and just do it, you know. Well, the nature of what she has disallows her from being here to do that. But you got a special, special, special surprise, and it is just really just wonderful. And you're going to hear Dr. Wanda Lynchenberg, who's on staff here. Most of you know Wanda. Wanda has been with us for 18 years on staff. We got her from the medical university where she got her doctorate in pharmacology, thus Dr. Lynchenberg, okay? Her service here, she's been involved in a number of different ministries. She's a part of the leadership for the worship team that you get a chance to hear each week. She's a part of the leadership team for the ladies' ministry. She's a part of the leadership team for the growth track. And she's also part of the leadership team for the programming of the services, which, again, happens every week she helps put together. Now, having said all that, you know, we celebrate our 30th year anniversary this year. And so Wanda having been with us 18 years has been much of that 30. And so as you've been around for so long, what you tend to appreciate sometimes changes. At first, it could be certain talents or certain impressions of this that kind of impress you. Long ago, you're impressed by things like a real sense of loyalty, a real sense of faithfulness, a heart that you see for the Lord Jesus Christ, and a love for his people. And I see every one of those qualities in Wanda. So would you give me a chance to introduce to you Dr. Wanda Lynchenberg, and would you give her a very warm welcome?
Y'all pray for these guys because they're exhausted. I remember coming back from Israel, I was like, I'll think in 3 days. So glad to be with you guys this morning. It was so fun when I was talking with Megan. So I said, sent her a text on Thursday. I had been out of town for a couple of days. I came back. I was like, hey, so I wanted to touch base. How are we doing for the weekend? How can I help? She said, well, about that. But my husband's like, well, you know, if you wait till the last minute, it only takes a minute. So, hey, Thursday, today, we're good. But honestly, the message today is really not something that you take and say, hey, I'm going to go study for that. It really is the story of my life. And I think that's one of the cool things about God. What he does is he says, your message is who you are. You, the message is the messenger. So what God does in your life, he's always going to use to minister to other people. And that's just really cool because he doesn't waste anything. So that's one of the things I love about God. So what I'm going to share with you in part comes from a message that I shared at the ladies' retreat a couple of years ago. Megan's like, please, 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 you have to do that. So I'm like, okay, well, that's a fantastic springboard. We're going to start there. So that message was called Broken to Beautiful. And now, you know, whenever Thursday came around, we're like, okay, You're doing Mother's Day. Sherry, who works in our graphics department, she said, I've got three looks for Mother's Day. Which do you like the best? And so happens, because God loves me, this was one of the options. I was like, that's perfect. That is perfect what I want to talk about. Because having been to Israel, one of my absolute favorite things was the mosaics. Now, you guys, you see mosaics. You go to a tile store. You're wanting to redo a bathroom. You're wanting to redo a foyer. And you see these beautiful little tiny pieces of tile that have been assembled together into a beautiful piece of art. So that's beautiful. But what is really beautiful is when you go to Israel and you see mosaics that date back to the 3rd and the 4th and the 5th century. They've been around a really long time. And what's amazing is that they walked on these. These were floors. They're just gorgeous, and they're huge. And some as big as the stage, some small. And most of the time they told stories, because that's the way people communicated. They communicated in pictures and in stories. And what I love about a mosaic is that it takes all these little teeny tiny broken pieces of tile, and they are assembled together by an artisan to make and present a great, fantastic story. And I love it how something broken, and if you looked at that pile of all these little broken pieces of tile, you'd say, well, that's not very beautiful. That's not even pretty. But when God brings all that together, when that comes together in the hands of an artist, it becomes beautiful. And that's what God does with our lives. He takes broken pieces and makes them beautiful. So that's what we're going to talk about today. And if you know me, you know I love art. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you a little bit about me. I love art. I love art museums. I love music. I love dance. If it's artistic, I love it. And I love when things are unusual. I love looking for beauty in unexpected places, like when we were in Israel, and Israel is dirt and rocks and more rocks and more rocks and more brown. But then there are these beautiful flowers, or you're out in the middle of nowhere and there's in this crack, there's this teeny tiny little flower that's just gorgeous, that little piece of beauty in an unexpected place. So this bracelet, I wore it today because I was reminded that this, I picked it up at one of the shows at the convention center, but it has a story. This, I think, is really kind of cool. It's made out of steel, but this was made in Haiti, and it's made by folks to raise money to help folks who need assistance. But they take old oil drums, and they craft it into art, into bracelets, into angels, into wall hangings. But they take something that really was what we would consider trash. Its usefulness is over, and they repurpose it, which I feel like is a lot of what God does in our lives. He takes what seems done. He says, nope, it's not done yet. I think I have something else for it, and it might even be more beautiful than it was to begin with. So back to the mosaics. One of my favorite mosaics, they're going to put up on the screen for you here. Pastor Mike talked about it. Now, you know, in Israel, what happened in the early church, like hundreds, 200s, 300s, churches would be built on sites that they thought, well, this is probably where this event happened. So at the event, at the place where we think that Jesus multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed the 5,000, a church was built. And then, of course, how things go in history, it gets destroyed, it gets rebuilt. It gets destroyed, it gets rebuilt. It gets destroyed, it gets rebuilt. Well, back in the 1800s, the Catholic Church got possession of this piece of property and started doing excavations. And they uncovered this beautiful mosaic that dated back to the 5th century AD, which I think is so amazing that it's been there since the 5th century. And so when you see something like this in Israel, what's really fun is you get to bring it home with you in a really, really special coffee cup. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have a collection. I have the coffee mugs that match some dishes, but they're up in the cabinet. So because I like coffee mugs that have a story. So this one, it reminds me on those days when I don't feel like I have anything left to give, that God said, you don't have to have a lot, just give me what you got. If you have 5 loaves and 2 fish today, give me that. I can take it just like Jesus did. They've got 5,000 hungry people. What do we have, guys? The little boy has, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't know what you can do with it. And Jesus said, I can take that. And he blesses it. And he multiplies it, and he feeds the 5,000. And he not only feeds the 5,000, there's leftovers, 12 baskets of leftovers. So not just enough, more than enough. So on my days that I need reminding that I need more than enough, I pull out my mug. This also reminds me of that whole concept of how you take something that's broken and make it beautiful. There's a Japanese art form, and they're going to put the two words for it up on the screen for you. It's kintsugi, or I'm going to murder this, kintsukuri, and it's mending pottery with gold. So you mend broken pottery with something that's very valuable. What I love about this is, you know, you think about in the early days of pottery, like before Walmart, when something breaks, you don't just throw it away and get another one. You need to figure out a way to fix it. And the Japanese and the Chinese and the Japanese, they found out a way to do this that what they ultimately decided would be more beautiful than the original. And you know, when we try to fix things in life, we usually try to fix it so it looks like it never broke. Y'all ever do that? I mean, you have something breaks around the house or something happens, you try to break it and put it all back together and get the fix on the underside so nobody sees it. Well, what this art form does is it capitalizes on the brokenness and says, you know what? And we've got a picture of one of those bowls that it would take resin and mix gold or silver or platinum. We're not talking cheap stuff. We're talking the expensive stuff. And they use it to mend the broken places and put it back together. And in the Japanese philosophy, this piece is more valuable than the original because it was broken and because it was put back together. And the story of its breaking and restoration becomes part of its value. And I love that because I really feel like that's what God does with us. He says, you know what? You've got broken stuff. Let me put it back together. And it's what gets put back together is going to be worth way more than it was before. Now, when I think about brokenness in our lives, I think there are times that breaks happen and it's completely an accident. So I'm going to tell you about a couple of breaks in my life. I have one of my breaks was last summer. And I don't know if any of you saw me rolling around here on a scooter. You might see that. It was a lot of fun. Let me tell you, I could outdo you. I could get there way faster than you could on my scooter and one foot. And what was really fun is I had a friend who helped me just accessorize my ride. So I got a horn, great clown horn. I got a police siren and light. So, and I was just rolling around the halls and we had a great time. But when that break happened, it was my left foot. They're going to show it to you on the screen here. So it's hard to see here. I'll point it out. And then Ben took such good care of me because I forgot this last service. But right here, the next slide, you can go ahead to the next one. It'll be easier to see. This right here, I had two breaks in my fifth metatarsal. It's called a Jones fracture. And I would love to tell you that I have a great story. You know, if you're going to break a bone, you need a great story. Like, I was skydiving, I was rappelling, I was base jumping, I was bungee jumping, I was parasailing, anything besides I was just getting in my car. That's not a good story. It's not even worth telling. I'm serious. That's what happened. We were getting ready. It was on a Sunday afternoon, and we had our summer intern that was coming on Tuesday. We were doing the finishing touches on our room in our house. We had been out shopping. I was putting stuff in the car. My husband was taking the cart back. And I'm like, I'll just jump in the car, and then we'll go to our next place. And I go to get in the car, and I hear a crack. It's like, maybe that was just my flip-flop on the pavement. And then we're riding, going to the next store. I'm like, I don't think that was my flip-flop. So I said, let me out at the door. Maybe I'll be okay. So I put weight on it. I'm like, nope, you're going to have to take me to the emergency room. So I go, broken foot, big old, she'll show you this. Yep, I wore that for the summer, had crutches. You can get some really good arms on crutches for 6 weeks. I'm telling you. And you can get really creative on climbing up and down stairs on crutches for 6 weeks. So that was my summer fun. So that was my break that was completely out of nowhere. I did not do anything that I know of. It just happened. Well, I have another break that happened. Yeah, I'm pretty much responsible for that. So let's see. A couple of Christmases ago, you guys remember we did Scrooge for our big Christmas production. And when we were talking about it, we had done it back in 2010. They're like, we're going to do Scrooge again. I'm like, am I happy? Am I excited? I don't know. Scrooge is really good, but 2010, that was not a good year for me. That was not a good Christmas for me. That was really, okay, Scrooge is going to be fine, but it's not going to happen again. So in 2010, we were in here, we were practicing, and y'all know how this lovely concrete floor, it's really soft. It's so soft to land on. So I decided, don't ask me why, wild hair. I don't know, maybe I was feeling young that day. I'm like, I think I'm gonna take my shoes off and I'm just gonna walk right in my socks. And then, any who saw Risky Business? And I know some of you are too young for that. Risky, okay, disclaimer, I was not in my underwear. So, but I was in my socks and I decided, oh, I'm gonna go sliding. So right here, right in front of the stage right here, right about in front of y'all, I was sliding, I'm sliding this way. My upper body stops, my legs do not. They keep going that way. And you know how time stops when you're in the middle of a fall? It completely stops. And I'm going down. My feet are going that way. I'm going down and I'm looking, and it's slow motion, I'm looking at my arm. And I watch as my arm goes down to break my fall. And I watch as it bends in a way it should not bend. And then you have this lovely picture of my break. So yeah, so then we go, so we go to the, I grab it up, I'm like, I think I broke myself. So Deborah takes me to the emergency room because my husband's doing stuff in the booth and he can't go and it's just crazy. So we go to the emergency room, they get me bandaged up, and the next day or two, I go to the orthopedic. So he looks at my x-rays and I'm thinking, okay, they'll just cast it. It'll be a few weeks, not a big deal. You know, I'll just carry on. Christmas is coming, we'll get it all done. So he's like, I think I'm calling a hand specialist. I'm like, what did I do? I really messed up. So he calls the hand specialist, oh, you're gonna have to have surgery. So you see, I broke my radius completely. And then here, for all you anatomy folks, styloid process of my ulnus, this little bone that sticks up, broke that little piece right off. So it's like, yeah, we're gonna give you surgery. So now, you know, broken bones are usually harder, and our Japanese art was very beautiful. Well, this is what I have. I have this beautiful titanium plate in my arm. There you go. So that's my beautiful titanium plate. That's my broken, and that's then my little repair that's probably not as pretty. But you know, a lot of times breaks happen in our lives. And like with that, that was really my fault because I was just being stupid. That was just not a smart move. Then there are other times that breaks happen in our lives that we didn't have anything to do with. And it's really, it's kind of hard. Now, this, I'm using this as an illustration. You guys, this is a pretty bold dollar store. And I'm going to do this because Virginia, who does our HR and our all of our insurance, she's going to be watching a live stream. She's probably watching. Hi, Virginia. If I say hi, Virginia. So I'm doing this because I don't want her to get upset if any of you get hurt. So, but sometimes what happens in our lives, well, we didn't do anything. We're minding our own business. And all of a sudden, something happens. What do you do with the broken pieces? What do you do when it's Mother's Day and you haven't been able to get pregnant? What do you do when it's Mother's Day and a year ago your husband walked out and now you're a single mom trying to figure out how to be mom and dad? What do you do when you feel like you've done all you know to do and your husband loses his job? What do you do when you get the diagnosis? What do you do when your child of 3 weeks passes away? What do you do when your teenager, who should outlive you and you should get to go to her wedding, you should get to meet your grandkids, when she dies from leukemia? What do you do? What do you do with these broken pieces? What do you do? And I told you this was a story about my life in the sense of what I have learned about the broken pieces in my life and what I've learned about the process of broken to beautiful. I've learned that broken to beautiful is not a all-in-one, not one and done, that it's straight from this to something perfect. It's a continuum, and I live in that tension between something broken in this area of my life and something beautiful over here. And I live on that continuum of, okay, well, I was really broken in this area and I've moved a little bit and I'm kind of whole here, but this is still messed up over here. And sometimes I just get overwhelmed. I'm like, what do I do with all the broken pieces? And then I have that illusion that when it all goes back together, if it ever could go back together, that it's gonna look just like it looked. That it would look like that dollar store bowl, because that was functional. That got the job done and it was pretty to look at. It wasn't very expensive, but it got the job done and it's useful, it's good, you know, it'll do. But what I've learned is that the God who loves me, and think about all those situations and many, many more that could have happened. I've learned that, and I don't know how people that don't know God do it, because the people in my life who've experienced those kind of heartbreaks, they've only been able to manage because they have God and they believe in God. But I know that God, he says, you know what? I can do something with that if you'll give it to me, if you'll trust it to me. And sometimes I'm like, God, how about I just give you, how about I give you this piece? God's like, okay, if that's all you're ready to trust me with, okay, I can do something with that. Okay, well, maybe I'll give you this piece too. But can I tell you, he wants the whole bag. He wants the whole bag. And what if he wants to take that and create something? Because, you know, when God does things, it's always bigger. Not necessarily bigger size-wise, but in terms of impact and value, it's always bigger than what we ever could bring him. What if he wants to transform this to this? That's what my God does. My God takes my broken. He makes this. Do you hear that sound? Do you hear that sound? That's a sound that says, I love you. It's a sound that says, I can take your broken. It's a sound that says, I can handle your not okay. I can handle your anger. I can handle your frustration. I can handle your heartbreak. I can make it beautiful. I can make it beautiful. And it may not all get fixed at once, but you can have spots in your life where you're just like, okay, that's beautiful. But you know what? One of the things we've been talking about all this year is the whole concept of living unlimited lives. And the idea that sometimes the greatest limitations come from what lives right up here. The thoughts that we think, the things that we believe, the lies that we have just bought into. What if the lie that because there are parts of you that are like this, you're disqualified from anything? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are to make a difference? Who do you think you are to get up here on a stage and speak? Who do you think you are to get up here and sing or play an instrument? Who do you think you are to serve in ministry? Who do you think you are that you could be a great mom? Who do you think you are? God says, I'll tell you who you are. You're my child. You're my beloved. You're accepted. You're equipped. You have everything that you need for life and godliness in me. I have everything that you need. I have called you to this place, to this time. And you can do it. And you are enough because I'm in you. Doesn't have to look perfect. I promise you, I'm a firstborn child. And I'm an only child. So that's it, firstborn in spades. Do you know what a firstborn expectation is? This is the voice in my head. You gotta have it perfect. You gotta have it all together. You gotta make it look good. And you're gonna have to take care of yourself because nobody else is gonna take care of you. Can I tell you all of those are not true? Can I tell you that I have a God who said, I will take care of you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will never abandon you. Never. My grace is sufficient for you. You don't have to be perfect. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And your salvation, you didn't do anything to earn that. It's a gift. So, I think about my friend who is a mom of two, and I ask permission for her to share a couple of things. And I wonder if sometimes we just get caught up in the broken. We get caught up in the comparing, like with the mom song, that, well, their life looks like this. I don't think mine looks like that. But what if God says, you know what? To me, you're here. For my friend who has twins, she said they had gotten about a year old, and she was like, you know what? I need to be more involved in ministry. I need to be doing things. They're mobile. I need to be doing more. I need to be doing more. It's got to be more. Got to be more. Got to be more. I got to get outside the house. I got to give more. I've got to do ministry. And God's like, no, what you're doing is enough. What I have called you to in this season is to raise two little humans to love Jesus. Isn't that the best line? You're raising two little humans to love Jesus. And that is the lane that I have called you to drive in. So get in that lane and go. Get in that lane and go with all you've got. And when you have the bad day, when you have the day that you're angry, and when you have the day that you blow up, and you have the day that you just don't get it right, you're raising two little people to love Jesus, because what you're going to show them is how you handle that. When you go and you apologize and say, Mommy, I didn't handle that really well today. Let's talk about forgiveness. Let's talk about God's love. Let's talk about what that looks like. So what we want you to have a chance to do before you walk out today, if we're not done yet, and we're not going to be after this next element, but we're close. We want you to have a chance to walk out today a little freer, a little more excited, with a little more vision, with a little more encouragement, with a little more sense of, I'm right where I need to be. Or if I'm not exactly where I need to be, I got a really good sense of where I'm supposed to be headed. And I've got help, and I'm not alone. And I am on this process. I've got some broken places, but I've got some beautiful places, and I can live in that tension in between. I can live in that tension in between. And can I be honest with you about Mother's Day? Those of you that know me know this. Mother's Day has been really tough for me over the years. It has not been one of my favorite days. Now, I love my mom. I love my mom, and I celebrate that. But for me, Mother's Day's been hard because we don't have kids. And it takes a lot of courage sometimes. And I'm really good with it now. For a while, years ago, I wasn't okay with it. But for someone to come and say, Happy Mother's Day, you're like, and I promise you I will not get offended. You can tell me Happy Mother's Day, and I will be so excited. And I'll have learned. And at that point, I can say, thank you so much. You know why I can say thank you so much? Because I know, deep on the inside, the truth. I know I don't have biological kids in my house. I have not birthed little ones. I have not raised little ones in my house. But what I do know is what God has said to me and what God has said to me through other people. God gave me a word one day through Pastor Mike. And it was after a service. We've been doing service directing, doing stuff on the front row. I was interacting with some of our younger leaders who were doing things. And after service, he's like, I think I have a word for you. I'm like, okay, I'm not ever going to miss. When your senior pastor says, I think I have a word for you, go ahead and listen up. And so we were in his office. And he said, you know what? I was watching you. And I really felt like the Lord said, I have given her many children. I have given her many children. And you know what? That is the reality that I live in. That tension between, it's Mother's Day. The only Mother's Day card I'm going to get is from my dog, most likely. But I have spiritual children. I have a lot of spiritual children. I am a mother. I mother these young people around me. I mother them by encouraging them. I mother them by nurturing them. I mother them by calling out the gifts in their life. I nurture them by affirming the call, affirming their gifts, affirming what God is saying about them. I I mother them by teaching them to love Jesus. I mother them by showing them God's love. I mother them by showing when I screw up how to get it right. So yes, there's broken and there's beautiful. And we live in the tension all the time. But I can do that when I know the truth. When I know the truth. So we want to give you just a moment. Just a moment. We're going to bring the lights down a little bit for you. And I don't know where you are today. But our heart is that perhaps today you would say, God, and it's okay if you're at the point you say, you know what? Today you can have this peace. I feel like I can trust you with this peace, and then we'll see what happens. Or maybe you're ready. Today is the day you say, God, you get the whole bag. I'm going to give you the whole bag. It's been a long time coming, but I'm giving you the whole bag. And I'm going to trust you and see what you have to do. So what I'd love for us to do, because I know the only place that we are changed is in the presence of God. So the team has a song. And we just want you to experience God's presence. Just take a few minutes to be with the one who loves you best. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcome Jesus because they've been waiting for him. Y'all can take a seat. I want to honor the moment right now. Because you know the word says that God inhabits the praise of his people. And you have just worshiped him. You have opened your heart in an amazing way. I want to honor that. I want to honor and I want to agree with you that whatever you opened up to him, that he is faithful. And when you do this, he reaches out to you. He reaches out to you. I love the lyric that said, he raises up the broken. What you've experienced that feels dead. But right now, we say, live. We speak life into those dead areas. We speak hope into the places that were hopeless. We speak joy into the places that felt so sad. We speak joy in the places. Journaled that back in 2005, I think it was. I keep journals, and some days it's just God help. Seriously, help, help. A lot of times it's Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I believe, help my unbelief. But I remember I had a dream. It was very disconcerting to me because in the dream someone said to me about something that I had been believing for. God doesn't remember. God's forgotten. And I had to talk with him and say, God, I know that's not true. I know that's not true, but that was in my dream. So that's in my dream. That's in my subconscious. And so, Lord, I just remind myself that you have not forgotten. You don't forget. you said, how can I forget you? Like a child, how could a mother forget her child? I won't forget you. So I speak that over you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten your dream, and he's not forgotten what's important to you. And it's important to him too. I'm going to quickly share this story. I'm going to just paraphrase it. So Jesus has been speaking, and there's this ruler from the synagogue, and he comes, and he's like, my daughter, she's 12. She's my only child. She's all I've got. She's dying, and I need you to come and heal her. And Jesus is like, okay, I'm coming. Well, in the midst of this, there's a crowd pressing on around him, and Jesus, a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years, she reaches out, and she touches Jesus. 12 years. She reaches out and touches Jesus. Immediately, she's healed. Immediately. Jesus is like, what just happened? Somebody touched me. People are like, there's crowds around you. Lots of people have touched you. It's like, no, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody touched me, and they believed. And the woman's like, well, I can't hide. So she comes and she says, it was me. And she explained what had happened. And the Lord says to her, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And right here, you've got beautiful. It just happened. And over here, here's the ruler. And his cohorts come up to him and say, it's too late. Your daughter's dead. The tension, broken, beautiful. Broken, beautiful. And Jesus says, don't worry. Don't listen to what they're telling you. I got this. And he ultimately, she's healed. Sometimes we compare, we're like, well, God did this for this person right now, but I'm waiting. It still hasn't happened for me. Comparison is the thief of joy. Don't let the enemy steal what God has for you. Do not let him steal it. Do not let, no matter how long it takes, it's worth the wait. This scripture is so alive to me because I told you I went to Israel in 2003. That's when I first saw the mosaics. It was so exciting. And like in the scripture, 12 years pass. When I'm in Israel in 2003, I'm like, God, I really want to come back to Israel, but I want to come back with my husband. And I don't want it to be my idea. I want it to be his. I wait 1 year. I wait 2 years. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 12th year. Church says, we're going to Israel. My husband looks at me and he's like, I think we should go this year. I'm like, I think that's a grand idea, honey. Yes! I couldn't do that jump because I was like, God, you are faithful. It's worth the wait. It's so worth the wait. So on that trip, on that 2015 trip, we go to the Western Wall. That's the wall you see pictures of where people put little prayers in the walls. And God speaks at different places. When you go, and I'm speaking that because I want you to go. It's the trip of a lifetime. So, and God will speak in different places. Well, this particular time, we go to the Western Wall. And, you know, you'll go up and you pray. And it's cool. But this time I went up and I put my hand on the wall. Immediately in my head, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And it was very clear. You're done. You need to walk away. And you back away from the wall because that's just what we do for honor. Then a couple of days later, we get to go back. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to try this again. I think it was just a fluke. So I walk up to the wall. I put my hand on it. Almost audible. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. You're done. Walk away. I would love to tell you that I believed that and I embraced the reality of that from that moment on. And I didn't. It was just until this year I started embracing that. Daughter, go. Your faith has made you well. And that word well is wholeness. It's not just, hey, you're over the stomach bug. Hey, this injury is healed. This broken bone is healed. You are whole. Go in peace. And so what we'd love for you guys to be able to do today is to go in peace. First, the way you get to go in peace is you go in peace because you're right with God. And you get right with God by receiving his grace. And grace is just the favor of God. Grace says, you know what? You don't deserve it, but I love you and I'm going to give it to you anyway. I love this quote from Philip Yancey. He wrote a book, What's So Amazing About Grace. He said, grace means there's nothing I can do to make God love me more and nothing I can do to make God love me less. It means that I, even I who deserve the opposite, am invited to take a place at the table in God's family. So what I'd like to do for you today is just give you my view. Everyone will just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're like, okay, for today, I just need grace because I'm giving God the broken pieces I haven't been willing to give him up before. I'm stepping into that place of grace. Or some of you may say, you know what? I haven't been walking with the Lord in a while, and I'm ready to do that. If that's you, we want to agree with you. Or you're just like, you know what? This whole idea is new to me, but I'm one in. So if any of that applies to you, would you just slip up your hand? Nobody's looking. Nobody else is looking. And Lord, right now, I'm just going to agree with you and say that the grace of God is on you. The grace of God. The grace of God for the next step. The grace of God to walk out the call in your life. The grace of God to move to that next place in him. The grace of God to be accepted. You're accepted into the family of Christ just by saying, I believe what Jesus did. He died on the cross for me. He was buried. He rose to life. He ascended to heaven. He paid the penalty for my sin. And I am saved. I'm right with God. So as you go in peace today, we're going to go in grace. You can start bringing the lights up a little bit. We're going to go in grace. Grace, and I told you about my friend. I love this. A friend who's raising her two little people to love Jesus. She told me the story. They were at, you know, when you're a parent and kids, you know, you're like, hey, we got the to-do list. We got lots of things to get done today. And I promise if you will help me with this and you will do this, then we're going to do something fun. So they were in, they had errands at AC. Mom said, okay, y'all be good. We'll go to the pet store. Kids are great. They're great throughout the store. They get to the checkout line, the kids lose their minds. Y'all ever had that happen? Your kids lose their minds right at the end? So bad that she said, I'm leaving the cart. I'm leaving the cart. We're going home. I'm done. She didn't even buy her stuff. Just didn't even buy her stuff. She's like, I can't do this. We're not doing this. We're going home. I'm so upset with you right now. God interrupts you. Just stop and listen. The most profound thing can happen. She walks out with her kids. They're headed to the car because they're going home. She hits the sidewalk and she hears the whisper. You're kidding, right? I did not just hear what I heard you say, God. Yep, okay. Take them to the pet store. Change of plans. We're going to the pet store. Her son looks at her daughter and says, do you know what just happened? Mama gave us grace. Mama gave us grace. We don't deserve to go to the pet store, but we get to go to the pet store. We were so bad, but we get to go to the pet store. They're five. That was when they were five, y'all. I am not five. It's taken me a lot longer to get that. So what I want to bless you with is that sense of that grace is available to you every day. That grace for, I broke it again. That grace for, I'm going to trust and move here. That grace is available every day. Say yes to grace. The last thing for you to live and to go in peace. Say yes to God. Just say yes. I had a clear sense at my last birthday that God said, you know, you're moving into a new season in your life. I'm like, you know what, God? And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to say yes. Whatever opportunities, whatever you present, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. So as you go today, moms, what's he calling you to say yes to? First of all, I want you to know you're doing a great job, whether you feel like it or not. You're doing a great job. You have everything you need to be the mom that your children need. You have it. God has put it in you, and we want you to live encouraged. But what promise? I love the first song that we sang. It's like a remake of a hymn, Standing on the Promises, which I grew up in a little country church, so we sang it a lot. I'm standing on the promises of God. What's the promise he has for you for this season? What's the promise you need to grab a hold of? Is it that I'll never leave you or forsake you? You're a single mom. You're like, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills this month. I have a plan for your life. I have a future and a hope. I can take everything and work it together for good. What do you need to grab a hold of and stand on? What question would God ask you? Is God asking, do you trust me? Do you think I can provide? Do you really think I can make that dream come true? What I'd encourage you today is just say yes. Lord, we just honor your presence right now. Lord, you do things that we don't always understand. And so, Lord, I just feel like you're moving right now. Lord, we just honor your presence. Lord, come and do what you want to do. Because when you move, things change. Chains are broken. Doubts are broken. Sicknesses are healed. Dreams come back to life. Lord, where it was a desert, a parched place, it's a beautiful garden. Would you stand right now? Stand into the yes of God. Stand into the yes. Stand and say in your heart, God, I say yes. I say yes to you. I say yes. I receive what it is that you want from me. That hit home that God doesn't remember. Would you hear the voice of the Lord said? I saw every tear. I heard every whisper. There's not a thing that escaped my notice. And you don't know it yet. But I've been fighting for you. I have been fighting for you. And I'm fighting your enemies. And I have victory coming for you. Just hang on. Don't let the enemy steal what I want to do for you. Don't let the enemy steal it. Trust me. Keep trusting me. Keep declaring that I'm faithful. Keep believing. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. There's a scripture that really came alive to me this year as I was worshiping. And it's in the Psalms, and it says that the Lord, he goes before me and he follows me. And he puts his hand of blessing on my head. And if you're not comfortable with this, don't do it. It's okay. But if you are comfortable, put your hand on your head for me. Just put your hand on your head. What I want you to feel, I want you to know. I want you to know in your knower, as you walk out of here today, you're walking into whatever chaos might be at home or at work or whatever's happening. But I want you to know in your knower that the Lord says, I go before you. You're protected from the front. I'm clearing a path. I'm clearing a path in front of you. I'm clearing the way into things that you have thought were impossible and unreachable. I am clearing a path for you. I am following you. I'm behind you. I have got your back. When you have thought nobody's got your back and you're all on your own, I have got your back. That is what the Lord God Almighty says to you. I've got your back. And feel it. He says, I put my hand of blessing on your head. I put my hand of blessing on your head. Where your thoughts have fought you for so long, and I tell you, that's me. Where your thoughts have fought you, where the lies of the enemy have had more ground than the truth of God, today is the day that's making a shift. Are you ready? Lord, right now, we just make that declaration and we may agree. We say yes, that you are going ahead of us, you are behind us. and your hand of blessing is our head, and we just choose to receive that blessing, and we're going to think the thoughts that align with your thoughts. We're going to active replace anything that doesn't agree with your word. We are going to replace that right now. We're going after it. We want to live the unlimited life. We want to live in the fullness of the blessings that you have for us. Grace on top of grace, on top of grace, on top of grace. Blessing on top of blessing, on top of blessing, on top of blessing. And right now, Lord, we say yes. In the name of Jesus, right now as you go, I say the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.